Thank you for bringing that with you, Mark, on the way home. We were, last week, had the privilege and honor, got stuff falling all over here, of being with Pastor Kakuza. I preached at his church last weekend, and just a very, very powerful time. And we usually go down there a couple times a year, because we're very close friends, as well as colleagues. And we hadn't been down there almost 2 years, and so it was fun. It's fun to be at his church. God is doing miracles and wonders, signs, wonders, and miracles, no matter where you go. He is always God. Amen. I'm reminded that He is Jehovah. I'm also reminded that He is the great I Am. I'm continually reminded that He's Yeshua. He has no limits. And so you can cast your eyes upon Him and always receive the heavenly best. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come today and share your word, share truth, share life, and we give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. I was thinking about praying and what was going to share today, and the Lord just spoke two words to me, living waters. In a life in the Spirit, I want you to know, if you're living a life in the Spirit, you'll always have a flow of His Spirit. And you'll never thirst for the things of this world, for they always come up secondary to a life in the Spirit. God has given everyone, an opportunity to live in the fullness of who He is. John chapter 4, verse 9 through 14, the Amplified. I want to read this one. It's about the Samaritan woman at the well. And the Samaritan woman said to him, this is the Amplified, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, and a woman, for a drink? For the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans." So Jesus answered her, "If he had only known and had recognized the gift and who this is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, no drawing bucket, and the well is deep. How then can you provide living water? Where do you get your living water?" Verse 12 says, "And she also asked, 'Are you greater than or superior to our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and he used it to drink from it himself, his sons and his animals?" I'm sorry, and his cattle. Getting carried away here. Jesus answered her, "All who drink from this water, amen, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks," I got to back up here, I'm getting ahead of myself, excuse me. "But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give, he shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing and bubbling and continuing within him unto and into for eternal life." And I love this story because of the fact it gives us several options of what we have to look at in our lives, even to this day, because this story, as scripture always is, very applicable to when it was spoken, and it's applicable to our lives right now. It is a living word. It flows no matter what we have. That word is alive for us today. So I want to take a look at verse 9 in a minute. Excuse me for messing up the reading a little bit before, but we'll get there. Verse 9 says, for the Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. I said, Lord, what does that mean today? A new living perspective will develop when one goes beyond man's edicts and laws and images. Jesus didn't care what they said, who he could talk to or he could not talk to, didn't care. He was doing the will of the Father, amen? Verse 10 says, now known and had recognized God's gift, and who is this that you are saying to? Everything changes when you recognize and know the Lord and receive what he has to give you. Everything changes. Everything changes. There's nothing that stays the same. Verse 12 says, verse 11. You have nothing to draw with. No drawing bucket. But the well is deep. Kind of looks like things impossible. How then can you provide living water? Here's what the Lord said to me. When doubt and negative confession sets in, life expectations and beliefs are diminished. I encourage every one of us today to not allow negative and doubtful thoughts enter into your minds, because it will diminish and hamper the flow of the living God in your lives. Then comes the next one. I really like this. It was a question, you are greater or superior than our ancestor Jacob? And I said to the Lord, well, what does that mean to you? What does it mean for us today? The Lord said, anything coming from anything greater than our old natural life. So Jacob was the icon of his day. He drank from the well. His cattle was at the well. In fact, we even know many stories about Jacob's well today. But the question was, are you, Jesus, superior to what used to be? Are you greater than what we've lived in all these years? Are you greater than the great Jacob and all his aunt? Are you greater than that? That's what she was asking. And I said to the Lord, but that's the question so many are asking today. Are you greater than what we're facing today? Are you greater than our churches and our religion? Are you even greater than the great revivals that we've had? Oh, Lord, I want that revival. He says, no, I'm something greater than what you had. Can you, Jesus, be greater than Jacob, our leader? Can we be greater than what's gone before us? Do we measure ourselves on the patriarchs of the past, or the livingness of God today and the anointing of today? Verse 13 says, all who drink of this water will be thirsty again. I said to the Lord, what do you mean by that? He said, I don't know when the church will learn and get this understanding and perspective from my word. But here's what he said to me. All natural and man-made ways and things are temporary, limited, and will not last. So why do we put such dependence on what man has made and reject what's already given to us that's eternal and have life? But whoever drinks of this water that I will give shall never, no, never be thirsty again. When one embraces and lives in the Spirit, there is never an end to God's supply. I've lived through stuff, and I can tell you when it looks the bleakest is when God supplies sometimes the most. I remember times just walking in fumes because we had no money. but we never ran out of gas. I remember times when shopping in the grocery store was kind of tenuous because we got to figure out what we could afford to eat but yet have enough nourishment to save a life. That's another story my wife and I will tell you someday. But I want to say to you, the water that I will give, that Jesus is saying to him, shall become spring of water, welling, flowing, bubbling, continually within him into eternal life, living water. I want us to understand something. I'm really wrestling with something. That's why I'm kind of, because I'm just sensing something in the spirit. I've been wrestling with it since I came up here. God wants us to understand something, church. Our life is not governed by what we are today. It's by governing what God has told us we are to be today. The scripture speaks of two dimensions in the story. One of eternal life, and the other one being about the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, that dwells within each and every one of us. And so Jesus is talking about the living water. He is talking about eternal life, and we shall have life eternally. But he also is talking about Holy Spirit. Because typology of water in the scriptures is speaking of the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 9, and 10 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit, he is not his. You can't politically correct that. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not God's. As simple as that. I'm just going to speak the truth. You're either with him or you're not. There's no gray area there. Verse 10 says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so if we're going to start to live a life that demonstrates the living waters of God, then we must understand that we must walk in the Spirit and be in the Spirit and not go in the realms of the flesh. So again, I go through all this, and I know I stammered a little bit, and I apologize for that, but I'm seeking what the direction God wants us to go, because I want to establish something that each disciple of Christ has abundance of living water within you ready to be released. Each and every one of us has the abundance of living water ready to be released. And God is looking for this church. God is looking for a people. When I go to a grocery store, the living water might splash off on somebody because I'm so full of the Spirit. I'm not consumed. Oh, Jesus, help me. With the things of this world. So I kind of put this in bold. I want you to hear these words from Scripture, amplified. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give will never, say never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling, continually within him unto and into eternal life. So when we live our lives, what is bubbling up inside of us? When we go through our daily lives, what is coming up out of us? What is people drinking out of our lives? What is, when people come to a church, what are people drinking out of? Well, God gives us the answer. John 7:36, amplified again. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scriptures have said, from his inner most being shall flow continually springs and rivers of living water. I come to you today to ask us a simple question. The Bible says that the springs and the rivers of living water are to flow out of our lives. When someone drinks the water out of my life, I trust that it will be living waters of Christ. And that's what God wants out of everything. See, the world is dying around us. You know, I don't even focus on that, because I focus on, if I live my life right and I have the living water of the Spirit of God flowing out of me, then I will affect positively everybody I come in contact with. Amen? So what is living water? Let us establish from the Scripture perspective that each, and I said this again, I'm going to say it probably 100 times, that each disciple of Christ has within them untold amount of living water to be released for the furtherness of the kingdom of God and his glory. Why does God want you to bring a spring and a well of living water? Amen. So you'll feel good about yourself? Well, you will feel refreshed. I can guarantee you that. But it's not for you. It's for the glory and the kingdom of God to be go forth. And so we look at a world that's dark and nasty, and everybody's complaining about it. But where's the church? When I open my mouth, do I have rivers of life or rivers of death coming out of my mouth? And these are the things that God is after. And so I want us to understand John was referring to, obviously, Holy Spirit as the living water. But I want to draw something in context to you, because you see, in the Old Testament, the external influence of Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, had always been given to the saints and prophets, but it was an external influence. It was something external. He was there. He guided. He directed. Holy Spirit was there, but he was on an external basis. Are you with me? External presence of Holy Spirit was upon the lives of God's children. Looking back at all they accomplished, can you imagine all the patriarchs, what they have done? And they had the Holy Spirit outside of them, guiding them and being upon them and his presence upon them. And look what they accomplished. Whew. Can you imagine if the revelation of the church would even be half of what our patriarchs were, and they didn't even have Holy Spirit in them. He was upon them, guiding them, directing them. The external versus an internal presence. So we're talking about the external. But when one gets to know Jesus Christ, the external now becomes the internal, because Holy Spirit now dwells into us. And the influence and the power and the might of the Holy Spirit does not surround you. It now invades you, and it's inside you. Wow. Am I meddling this morning? I felt a little, my prophetic tent was almost coming out in the beginning of the service. And so, but I want to tell you something. God's after something. Stop looking at what's going around you and start being an instrument of living water to affect what it is. How many Christians we have in America can just, if every Christian every day would say one good thing about the kingdom of God and living water, how fast do you think this world would turn around? Because people want to hear that. The presence, the influence, and the flow of Holy Spirit now comes from within us. Within the deeps of the disciples' life, it flows. It's living water. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Now, the other thing I want you to understand, because we talk about this, because you see, we now have Holy Spirit living within us. Are you with me? Our patriarchs had Holy Spirit externally influencing them. And here's what the Lord said. Why do you keep saying that you just have a Holy Spirit? And he says, you not only have the Holy Spirit within you, but as the patriarchs, you have the Holy Spirit about you. So there's a simulation of the Spirit of God within, the Spirit of God without. He says, how can you lose? Upon studying Scripture, Jesus is speaking of Holy Spirit. The living water symbolizes the Spirit of God, which springs up within every one of us as a source, outpouring of Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's not something you get in church. It's something that comes from Christ. You can't get what I'm talking about. You have to embrace it, receive it, and flow in it. Amen? a couple who embraces the awe, and I'm putting this way on purpose, a disciple who embraces the awe and the fear of God, I must say, be very careful to recognize and embrace the living waters of God. And do not confuse them with the cultural norms of today. Because there is such mixture now, sometimes we don't even know what we're drinking anymore. Wow, woe is me. I said, woe is me. I ran across a scripture, and I'm kind of just wrestling with this because it's really strong, but it's truth. Jeremiah 2, verses 12 and 13 in New American Standard. Be appalled, O heavens, at this and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. That sounds pretty ominous, doesn't it? For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cinderons, broken cinderons that can hold no water. When one has created cisterns, the source of man's religion is it. Or a cistern might contain self-centered lives. I'm drinking out of something that affects me only. It's my self-centeredness that I've created, that I've drunken out of. Having a carnal mind, which brings up forth death and darkness and evil. And what the Lord was saying is that my people have forsaken me, and they're not going off without drinking. They are creating themselves man-made syndromes and then saying that's from the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, I'm drinking water, I'm not thirsty. But if you get thirsty enough, you drink water anywhere. But the world is so thirsty right now that help me, Jesus, I'm trying to get this out. The world is so thirsty, Pastor Mark, that they're willing to drink anything, and there's no discernment of what they're in. So the world sits up and says, there's no living waters here, so I'll give you some cistern water. Polluted. Is this too strong? Because I'm sensing something in the Holy Ghost. A cistern is an artificial reservoir or a tank of holding water or other liquids. It's a storage area, how we store things up for ourselves. A natural reservoir, a cistern, a hollowed out place to containing water. The wild cisterns. A cistern differs from a well or a spring because a well or spring is fed eternally. I don't know if you know, but a cistern only can receive externally. And most of the time it's runoff water from the world. I mean, from the earth. I got that confused. No. And so we're faced with something here because the Lord said that my people have committed two evils. First of all, they're not recognizing me as their living water, and they're creating something false and drinking it and feeding that falsehood to the world, and we want to know why we don't have spiritual revival. So cisterns are fed from external forces. If there's a drought, the cistern goes away. If upheaval comes and if someone breaks the dam of the cistern or the reservoir, the water goes away. But my Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I'm going to give you, you will never thirst again. See, the world has got climate change on the brain. And the reason they have that is they are using now the world, the enemy, the God of this age, is drying up the systems that man has made. And all of a sudden, they don't have any water, so they're panicking. Because anything man-made will not last. Why are so many church fellowships drying up Because they have created man-made spirit of religion, churchy laws, regulations, systems that they have been drinking, and they fill themselves up with the cistern water, and then they feed it to God's people. And so all God's people know how to do is drink polluted water. And when you say you've got to go with the, and drink the living water of the Spirit of God, amen, but you've got to pay a price to get that. We can't do that. We enjoy our water here. No, God says, come over here. For what I got is life. God's after something in our churches today. Stop feeding what man's given you. And take the time and drink from the fountain of Holy Spirit. Take the time. Here's a warning, another warning. In case you only thought that was in the prophets. Amen. James 3:10 and 11, New King James Version says, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, this ought not be so. Same mouth. We can get religious, but when you go home, what's coming out of your mouth to your family? Same mouth coming out. Let's go on, like the next verse, because the next one gets more potent. Does a spring spring forth of fresh water or bitter from the same opening? You see, my beloved, either what comes out of your mouth will be either from living water or cistern water, which is polluted. Either one of those are going to come out of your mouth, but they ought not, again, cannot come out of the same mouth. So either you're going to speak forth cistern water, polluted water, or we as a church are going to get a Holy Spirit and say, whatever, are you with me? Because this is a dangerous thing. We're going to say, whatever it takes, Jesus, let me have a well of living water. That when the world is all propagating death and doom, and everybody's negative and going down the drain, a disciple of Christ will stand up straight, throw his shoulders back, and open up your mouth and receive the living, victorious, great heavenly water of the Spirit of God. Maybe our churches aren't full because the people are tired of cistern water. Ooh, I can't back up anymore. See, the substance of a person's life is determined by the content and the condition of their heart. Proverbs 4:23, New American Standard says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Why? For from it flows the spring of life. Hallelujah. So my question is to us, I have just a couple more minutes. I'm on page 3, and I have 4 pages of notes, so you know what that means, don't you? Absolutely nothing. But I'm sensing Holy Spirit really, really trying to drive a point home, and that's why I was flummering, because I didn't want to come on too strong, but I wanted to make a point, you see. I wanted this word to be sharper than a two-edged sword, not a blunt hammer. The question. What is the status of waters that flow from your being, and what is the source of the water of life for you? That's an interesting question. I don't really like the answers sometimes. because with this thing we all went through, and I went through it too with the last 2 years, I had some things coming in my mouth that I never thought would come out of my mouth, and it was negative and doubt and debt and all that good stuff. God says, you need to straighten that up, boy. I don't want polluted water coming out of your mouth. And if you have doubt and questioning and wondering if I'm around or I'm going to be here or not, that's you're drinking from the wrong source of water. Because my God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My God says, I am victorious. My God says, I'm more than a conqueror. So why am I starting to question? Because I'm drinking from something else besides the living water of God. So how do we know what's coming out of him? How do I guide it? Does the substance of water flowing out of my life come from a man-made or cultural-driven cisterns? That's a fair question. I had to ask that question myself. I said, Lord, how do we guide that? He says, it's very simple. Get back to simplicity of the word. And you know what's coming out of your mouth is right or wrong. Is that all right? Cistern that consists of elements of spiritual religion, man's philosophy, teachings, and dictates of culture. That's what a cistern produces. A cistern developed by and for the person. Now this, you got to hear this now. A cistern, this is what the Lord said, is created, derived, and empowered for the preservation of the flesh and a self-centered agenda in our lives. In other words, I'm going to drink what I create because I know what I'm getting. But if I drink what God creates, I have to yield to him and take what he has for me, which is always good. Is that all right? So how do I know what I'm drinking? How do I know it? Pastor Mark's going to appreciate this. Are you ready for simplicity? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, New King James Version. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, a burst of anger, selfish ambitions, dimensions, amen, heresies, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that they who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why is God so stern with this? Because he says, what's coming out of your mouth is defying your inheritance. If I'm not giving the living word and waters of God, then am I defying my inheritance of the kingdom of God? Am I, now listen to me please, church, am I depriving myself, not anybody else, myself, from, did I turn this on? Wow. Am I depriving myself? Am I damaging what I'm supposed to be in the kingdom of God by what comes out of my mouth? The demonstrations of my life. See, whatever you drink, you will produce. If you drink bitterness, you will be a bitter person. But if I drink living water, bitterness has no place in me. Is that all right? I'm doing better than I thought. Does a substance or water flowing out of our life? Good question. What's flowing out of our life? I'll tell you a good place to go to figure it out. How many of you really like to know what happens when the rivers of God flow out of one's life? Would you really like to go to Ezekiel 47 and read about the temple of God? Because they don't have time to get into that, but the temple of God was so full of the presence of God that it shook the doorpost, and the rivers of his presence forced its way out. And everything it touched, what happened? It brought life, didn't it? Everything out of the temple, everything brought life, healing, deliverance. It was good stuff. And I said, God, what? He says, boy, if my people ever got a handle on that temple, and let me fill them up and it ooze out of them, then everything they touch will turn to good. Everything. Because I can't see, or maybe you saw something different, I don't think so, that the waters or the fluid or the spirit or the presence of the Lord flowing from the temple, everything it touched brought life. Even took dead water seas and brought life to them. So what can we do with the Spirit of God coming out of us? Can I walk into a dead pool of humanity? Just me alone? Well, I'm nothing. How do you draw that water, Jesus, when you don't even have a bucket? You start doubting and wondering about the eternalness and the power and the might and the manifestation of the presence of God. So I could walk into a cesspool, me alone, bubbling with living waters of God. And I could just walk in the middle of that and I can say, life! And that water would have to turn, and the bitterness would have to turn, and all that water, that cesspool, would now have to become pure water because I spoke the living God into it. Am I off the wall? Am I a little crazy? I don't think so. I've been doing this too long. Proverbs 18:4 says, amen, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Can you imagine when you go home if you only spoke things of God and goodness and living words and living and uplifting words? And what would happen to your family? What would happen to the atmosphere? Each believer must accept, I want to hear this now, each believer must accept, believe, and embrace and activate what God has placed inside of them. Many go to and fro, running around, looking for something to help them. Looking for a place to experience His presence. Looking for some place to experience His presence. Well, you know, you don't even have to go to church to experience His presence. That's been a lie propagated for years. Well, I got to go to church so I can feel God's presence. But you are the church. What are you going to? You can't go nowhere to find God's presence. Come on. But we take that untruth out of the system that man completed in his religion, so we can make sure that you do what I tell you to do. So if you have a life on your own, the Spirit of your Lord, man, you aren't dependent on me. Amen. You see, the church will explode the day you stop being dependent on it and dependent on Him. Is that too tough? You might not bring me back. But no, I'm just kidding. But I'm serious. I didn't get up serious this morning. But as the day went on, the seriousness took hold of my spirit. And saying, my people have got to start getting a hold of something. Stop drinking from stuff that only poisons your mind, your spirit. Start drinking from the Word of God and living God and let the Holy Spirit flow with you in the rivers of life. I'm going to move on. Something we all know, the scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:16, New American Standard says, do you not know that you are, what? A temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know that? I mean, I think I say that almost every time I preach. Do you not know that? Would you please notify yourself of that? I have to notify myself of that, but it's a work in progress. So a disciple has living waters flowing from their life. Amen? What might be some of the characteristics of a disciple that has the living water flowing through their life? We talked about the other. Nobody ever talks about the other flesh stuff. We don't want to expose that. But see, what do I look like if the Holy Spirit is in me and flowing and the living waters are flowing and the Word of God is alive? What is my life going to look like? Well, I got a little scripture to share with you. I don't know if you have ever heard this before, but Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25, New King James Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. It's life. It's spirit. It's not law. I don't have to love you, Pastor Mark. I don't have to love him. Because that's not law. The fruit of the Spirit is I'm going to love you because you're my brother, I'm going to love you because it's the fruit of the Spirit, but law can't make me love you. Go tell the world that. They're trying to make you do all kinds of things out there. All right, let me move on. Gentleness, self-control. Against it, there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Can you receive that? You see, when we receive Holy Spirit, we receive the very nature of Holy Spirit. You see, you don't have to work up to demonstrate the nature of Holy Spirit. Because if you do that, then you're going to put your carnality in it, and it's not going to be pure. Amen? Amen? And if you think that you got to do that, then you're drinking from the wrong water source. And so I understand that when I got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and I become the temple of the Holy Ghost, that the very nature of God that contained the living waters is now available and alive in my life. The very nature of God is in my life. And so when I do something in the Spirit and I walk in Christ, well, I'm not in the Spirit all the time. Well, maybe we should change that. See, if I'm walking in the Spirit, then the very essence of the nature of Holy Spirit should be exactly out of my life. Now, that's a tough call, but that's just the way it is. Amen? And so, there are three things I wanted to close with. And there are three areas that God said that I want to start seeing in my children's lives everywhere you go. So if I have Holy Spirit, a part of his nature is that he is the presence of God. Are you with me? So wherever I go, I want to release the presence of God. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the times, what? Refreshing may come from what? The presence of the Lord. Are you feel dried up and beat up and all that stuff? Just get into the Lord and let the presence of the Lord refresh you. And then when you go out, that presence will be refreshing to everybody you come in contact with. Not your personality, his presence will. I've learned a long time ago, if I try to get me into it, it usually doesn't turn out very good. But if I let Holy Spirit move, amen? The second one is power. God wants to demonstrate his power. And I'm not going to do this today. I mean, last time I preached, we had a little fun up here, and it was good, and you demonstrated the power of God. I didn't come here for that reason today. I want to teach you about the power, but I want you to demonstrate the power, not me. I know what's inside me. Do you know who's inside you? God's after something for the church to be awakened and quickened. You see, the world is all going. It is going to hell in a handbasket, so to speak. It is destructive out there, but I refuse to look at it. I refuse to concentrate on it. I'm not going to be dragged down into the negative and the controlling stuff that is being put on mankind today, and everybody bow down to it. Amen? And this last year, and all this COVID thing was just preparation to get you to bow down to something that God doesn't want you to bow down to. Are you with me? I don't know if you know it or not, but the power of Holy Ghost is in you. Amen? Can you receive that? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." You have the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living inside of you. You have the Spirit that brooded over the earth and destroyed the darkness, that when God got up and said, "Let there be light," light moved. The power of Holy Spirit is in you. And if you just give me a couple more minutes, I just want to paint you a picture because I can see this. I do this with God all the time and I have fun with it. But I see the power of God, just the Spirit of God brooding over things. And sometimes I like to look at it as brooding over an area, or brooding over a situation, or brooding over a church, or individual life. Can you just picture Holy Spirit brooding, incubating, getting ready for that, for God to move? That's what he's doing today in the world. That's what he's doing that today. Stop being taken down. Amen? Look up. Look up. Look up. And I'm believing that if we get a hold of this, that we could take an area and Holy Spirit would brood, and a saint or a disciple of God will get up and say to that darkness, "Let there be light," and darkness will flee. Why? Are we God? No, we're God's representative. We have God in us. We have Holy Spirit in us. We are called to do what he did on earth down here. We have been given untold power. Untold power. And I'm not going to demonstrate it today because it will take away from what I wanted to leave you with today. Amen? But I could tell you right now, I could call every one of you up and we could pray the power of God fall and you would fall over in the Spirit. You'd be slain in the Spirit and all that would be good and it's exciting. But you see, then you're looking at someone else who's doing the... Stop depending on someone else for the power to flow. Amen? I could do that. I could call you up right now. You've slain the Spirit. I could release the power of God. But what's that going to do for you when you go home? Or when you went to come to a demonic force that's attacking you. Oh, go, the devil's attacking me. No, stand up and put your bupkos pants on and get up there and say, "In the name of Jesus, you buy." We're kowtowing. We're broken. Why? Because we've been drinking from a system of lies that we are depowered. The word doesn't look anymore. The church isn't good anymore. This isn't good anymore. God said, no. You come up and start drinking from the living fountain of the Holy Spirit, and I will bring life, power, and might into you. Last one. And I will sit down. Because I'm tempted to do an altar call, but I will sit down. Because I know what could happen after this. Yeah. Anointing. Presence, power, and anointing. John 2:27, New American Standard. "As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you." Well, I'm not anointed. Lie. Oh, the ministry's anointed. You've been drinking from the wrong system. Because everyone who is called of God, everyone who has Holy Spirit, everyone, say everyone, everyone who's accepted Christ, received Holy Spirit, everyone has the anointing inside them. Why? Because Pastor Al said no. Because that is what the Word says. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. That doesn't mean you don't go to church and you don't get taught. That doesn't mean that. Stop. Go down that. You're drinking from the wrong system if you're going different than that. You have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his what? His what? Anointing teaches you about all things. And he is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Amen. I haven't had something come out a lot different than I planned in a long time. But the Lord struck me with seriousness this morning. Church, God is looking for something from us. Now let me say to you this. I am not going to tell you it's not going to cost you, because it probably will. I'm not going to tell you that it's going to go against everything that's coming against us right now. And I will. How many of you believe in the word of the Lord? A year and a half ago, everybody's wondering where this pastor was coming from when he starts saying, I'm preparing you for the day. You remember that, Pastor Mark? It's been about a year and a half. Have I got that right? 2 years. He's been preaching it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. He lives all the way. It's coming. It's coming. He was drinking from the right fountain. I'm here to tell you what your pastor saw prophetically has happened. It's not coming. It's here. Now. Now, after all those years of all those teachings and all those grinding the word of God, all those hours spent trying to prepare the church, where are we? Are we drinking out of a cistern, or are we drinking out of the Spirit of God? Are we rising up above what we live in and say, no, that is not the way? Or are we going to succumb and become negative and defeated? Wondering where God is. Quite frankly, after all this time with the Lord, I'm getting a little sick and tired of Christians who are supposed to know you wondering where their God is. That's a whole mouthful in itself. Am I mad in my head? No, I'm not. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that believers are being sucked into a worldly system of defeat, negativeness, debilitation. No laws, no righteousness, no nothing. We're just being sucked into it. And the church has been drinking from a system and saying, you can't do anything about it. Or the religion. Or I got to build a church. And we do have to build the church. And this is part of the church. But I'm saying to his church, it is time to rise up. Rise up. Look in the mirror. Say, God, I want to see the living waters. I want to taste them. And the last question I'll leave with you is, after I leave someone's life, being in their presence, talking to them, being friendly with them, what's the taste in their mouth from the waters they drank from my life?
Amen. Well, church, let's stand up to our feet just for a moment here. And as Pastor I was saying there, I want to just encourage you. We're going to close off. We've done this a few weeks ago, but I just want you to gather in like groups of three or four. So whoever's just right around you, get three or four folks together. And I just want you to take like 5 minutes, pray over each other. As Pastor I said about six times today, you got the same anointing in you, right? We could lay hands on folks, fall down, whatever, cry, whatever happens to you, but then we need to start going out there and working it out. Amen. And it's when we're out there that we need to work through it. Can I get amen? So just take a few moments. You don't got to drag it out. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Just get together three or four people right around you, and just take a few minutes, pray for each other, lay hands on each other, pray in tongues, pray quietly, whatever it is. But the question from the man of God this morning was, when I leave people, what is the taste left in their mouth? Am I leaving them with living waters or with salty water? Amen. So bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.